You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 376.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Kevin, hi.
Welcome back to another Flopcast movie night.
Oh, boy.
This is happening again, and it's a huge mistake again.
And I believe I'm the one that requested this?
Well, we were locked into this project already, but I was surprised how quickly you were willing to move on to part two of our three-part look at the sequels to Meatballs.
Lest you think I suggested it because I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm biting the bullet here.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yes. Yeah, strapping on the Meatballs feed bag and just getting it done.
So before we get into more Meatballs sequel discussion, let's start with what's hopefully a more pleasant subject, and that would be your National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
You know what goes with a good movie, Kevin?
Raisinets.
One would think. I don't like raisins.
I don't either.
I guess those count.
Yeah.
I would say what goes with a good movie are some good refreshments.
Sure.
And July 25th.
Something hopefully better than a raisinette.
Yes, I don't find raisinettes refreshing,
no,
but to each
lame.
Their own.
Yeah, they're stupid.
They are. But July 25th is National Refreshments Day.
Oh, just refreshments in general.
In general. Okay. General refreshments.
Well, in that case, we can definitely do better than the humble raisinette.
I mean, one could say that we're enjoying refreshments right now.
What do we have? I see iced coffee.
Some water.
And water.
My flask.
Are you holding that on me over there? I didn't realize there was a flask in the studio.
Aren't there still some wine juice boxes around here somewhere?
Probably. Well, all I can see is...
I'm pretty sure I hooked you up for life.
I see. I've got coffee and water. Those are the only beverages I'm aware of.
Yes. So July 25th. Is a day to honor refreshments on a national scale.
Refreshments.
But I don't want to just celebrate beverages.
Yeah.
Or things that would refresh you in that way.
So many things are refreshing.
I want to celebrate the band that came out with that song, Banditos, in the mid-90s.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't realize this, Kevin, but they also did the King of the Hill theme song.
I was aware of this, yes.
The refreshments.
I can name two refreshment songs, and you have just named them both.
Same. Worth celebrating, nonetheless.
I like that song, the goofy song with the reference to Captain Picard in it. That was a fun song. And then I like the King of the Hill theme song, so sure.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get more from those guys.
I'm sure they have other songs. Those are the only two that I know. They're probably still out there somewhere.
I bet they are.
Yeah, we were talking about Convergence last week on the show, the big convention that we go out to in Minnesota. And I remember two, 3 years ago, these four guys came walking up in kind of the courtyard outside the hotel, dressed like the four King of the Hill guys. And they set up like a fence, like a background, like a fence that they would stand in front of and put on that song.
They
started playing the music, and then the four of them just stood there. It was outstanding.
That is excellent.
It was very refreshing.
I would agree.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought them up. I forgot about that band. I hadn't thought about the refreshments in a long time. They're probably on tour right now with Deep Blue Something and Dishwalla.
I could see that. I can imagine the shortest concert you'd have ever imagined.
We each have one song.
Yes, and then you can go home.
Sure.
So, on July 25th, take that song Banditos and put it on repeat.
Yes.
For National Refreshments Day.
And get yourself
a nice cold beverage.
Yeah, get a beverage.
Your choice.
Skip the raisinettes.
Maybe some Yoo-Hoo. So refreshing. I don't know. I think Yoo-Hoo is kind of like the opposite of refreshing, but again.
It's a bizarre liquid chocolate sort of a beverage, right?
I think of it as thick chocolate water.
I haven't had a Yoo-Hoo in a long time. And I'm not looking for that streak to end anytime soon.
And I don't miss it.
No, I'm sticking with the iced coffee. That's refreshing enough for me.
Very refreshing.
Well, Cornflake, this is movie night once again. We just did this like 3 weeks ago, I think.
And I am still recovering.
We kicked off this project, but the idea was we're huge fans of Meatballs, the original 1979 Bill Murray summer camp classic Meatballs. And last year we watched Meatballs as part of our summer activities here on the show.
Yes, fond memories of the original, but I'm still shuddering after having watched Meatballs too.
Yeah, well, we got a request to talk about Meatballs more this summer, and we thought, well, we did a whole show all about Meatballs last year, so I didn't want to do that again. So then we decided, what if we watched the sequels, which we have never seen the Meatballs sequels before.
And so, with good reason, I think.
Yeah, I just always assumed they're dreadful, they're stupid, so I'm not going to bother. So I never saw them. Well, a few weeks ago, we watched Meatballs 2. Tonight, Meatballs 3. We're going to watch Meatballs 3 for the first time.
And we have to go to the internet to do it.
Yeah, when I went to look up Meatballs 3, and as far as I can tell, Meatballs 3 is not available through any legitimate means. Like, I don't know if it's ever been released on DVD. Not that I could tell, because I didn't even see anybody selling DVDs on eBay or anything.
That's because those who own it cherish it and would never part with it.
It's possible Meatballs 3 has never been released on DVD. Maybe there was a VHS 30 years ago, probably. But for our purposes, I could not find a DVD. I could not find a streaming on-demand kind of availability anywhere. So I looked at YouTube, and the whole movie is available on YouTube. Some hero stepped up and took it upon themselves to upload Meatballs 3 to YouTube for the world to enjoy.
Thank you, whoever you are.
So, yeah, we are turning to the internet tonight to watch Meatballs 3. As soon as the mayor gets back with the pizza pie, she's going to rig this TV to get YouTube to show us Meatballs 3. Because I don't know how to do that.
It could all turn into an enormous disaster.
In addition to being the mayor, she's also our AV tech expert, and she's going to rig this thing to show us YouTube.
Thank goodness for the mayor.
Yes. Otherwise, can you imagine the horror of not being able to watch Meatballs 3 tonight?
Sounds to me like go home early.
Do you know anything about this movie, Cornflake? Do you know anything about Meatballs 3?
I deliberately steered clear of anything that could tell me what to expect.
Well, I have not seen it, but I did look it up today and did a little research about it. The movie is called Meatballs 3 Summer Job. It's from 1986, and of the three Meatballs sequels, this is the only movie that has some, albeit tenuous, ties to the original Meatballs. Because Meatballs 2, which we just watched a few weeks ago, completely unrelated to Meatballs 1.
Oh, yeah.
Meatballs 4, which we will get to later this summer, completely unrelated to Meatballs 1.
Also off in left field.
Yes. Meatballs 3 actually is connected in that this is Rudy. Rudy the Rabbit from Meatballs 1. This movie stars the character of Rudy, played by Chris Makepeace in the original. However, not played by Chris Makepeace here in the sequel.
Played by Paul Rubens in the sequel.
So we got a different guy. It's not Paul Rubens, I'm sad to say.
Aw, no.
Different guy playing Rudy. Totally different guy playing the same character.
Okay.
The similarity to Meatballs 2 is that, like Meatballs 2, you may remember, has an alien in it. Remember?
Oh.
We suffered through Meathead the alien in Meatballs 2.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, there's no alien in this, but this movie also has a supernatural component to it.
I see.
Yeah. So get ready to be freaked out by more weird fantasy aspects of Meatballs 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anything can really prepare me for that, but I do appreciate you trying.
Other than that, I'll say no more. My guess, my prediction, is that this is even worse than Meatballs 2.
I really hope you're wrong, but I think you're on to something.
That's what I think. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see. The mayor shall be arriving any minute now with pizza. She went out on a pie run, so we're going to have pizza. That'll help.
Yes, it always does.
Some refreshments, if you will.
Yum.
Can pizza be considered a refreshment?
I do find pizza refreshing.
Under these circumstances, how could it not?
Right.
So we got pie coming. As soon as the pie arrives, we're going to pop in the movie.
Refresh me with pizza, torture me with meatballs.
You kids at home, you're welcome to pause the podcast, go onto YouTube, and see if you can endure Meatballs 3 right along with us. Or, the smarter move, just keep listening.
Yeah. We're going to be back before you know
it. We will be right back like 1 second from now to discuss the movie. And if we survive, we'll see what happens. All right. Hang on, Cornflake. Here we go. We're going to have some pizza and we shall endure and then meet you back on the other side to break down and discuss and analyze Meatballs 3 Summer Job. Okay, Cornflake, I guess I want to start by saying I'm so sorry.
I believe we've witnessed an atrocity.
Did you ever think you would long for the days of Meatballs 2?
No. No.
Doesn't that seem like a magnificent cinematic achievement now?
I thought nothing could be worse than Meatballs 2.
The depths that we've sunk to in Meatballs 3.
I think we just watched, what, an hour and a half infomercial for water skiing?
We barely made a comment through the whole movie. We were just quietly horrified.
You must not have heard me because I occasionally uttered things because I was stunned.
You'd make a little horrified noise here and there, but we weren't even like goofing around, MST3King it up, you know? We were just...
No, it was just bad.
We were just suffering.
It was just bad.
Wow.
I think it's important to mention that there's no summer camp involved in this at all.
It's not summer camp. Yeah, it's summer job. But there is no summer camp in this. This is like a shady, sketchy riverside resort for creeps.
Creep resort.
It was a creep resort. So as we said, the tenuous connection to Meatballs, the original Meatballs, which we love, is that this is supposedly Rudy the Rabbit, the kid, innocent young Rudy, Chris Makepeace from the original. Now, same character. Now it's a few years later. A different actor is playing the same character. And that actor was Patrick Dempsey.
And that astonished me.
No, Patrick Dempsey, I've heard that name for years and years. I don't know that I've ever actually seen him in anything. Probably best known, I think, from Grey's Anatomy.
I would agree.
Which I've never seen.
Did you? Me neither.
You haven't seen it either? Okay. It was on for a million years. It might still be on.
It
was a long-running show. It might still be going. I don't know. I know Sandra Oh was on that show. Maybe yes. She still is. I don't know. And I like her. And this guy, Patrick Dempsey, also one of the stars of Grey's Anatomy. That's all I know about him. But he was the star of Meatballs 3. Okay. He is the new Rudy the Rabbit. Makepeace is out, Dempsey is in.
I had a really hard time with this, Kevin, because Rudy's character in the original Meatballs, he's a bit reserved and shy.
Yeah.
But he's not a weenie, you know? This kid is a weenie.
He was sort of like an awkward nerd, but he's also a creep.
Right.
We don't like him. They didn't make him a likable character.
Not at all. And yet Rudy was likable.
We love young Rudy the Rabbit, of course.
He did not strike me as someone who would grow up to be creepy. So.
No, he wasn't creepy. He was shy. Bill Murray said, you must be that shy kid we ordered.
Shy, but with a good heart. So this was not... This was a ridiculous jump.
He was Rudy in name only.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different guy. This is supposed to be the hero of the story, I guess. He's the star of the movie, and I just could not stand him. You want to strangle him from start to finish.
The whole time, yes.
Yeah, so what a disaster.
Who played his guardian angel?
Yeah, as we hinted before the movie started, this movie, like Meatballs 2, has a supernatural element, and that is that a porn actress dies and then is turned away at the gates of heaven, but is told if she can help someone on earth, she'll be allowed into heaven.
Right.
And her idea is she's going to help Rudy lose his innocence, if you will.
Right.
If she looked familiar to you, did she look familiar? You've probably seen her because I knew who this was right away. This is Sally Kellerman. She's been in tons of movies and stuff, and she's made real movies. She's made good movies. Perhaps best known probably from MASH, but the movie MASH, not the TV show. She was Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan in the movie version of MASH. And then on TV, that was Loretta Swit.
One thing I could tell about her, regardless of the fact that I couldn't place her, despite how bad this movie is, she still comes across as a sophisticated and polished actor.
I just kept thinking, what is she doing in this movie?
Yes, exactly.
She's way better than Meatballs 3. She was in a much more fondly remembered movie this same year, because 86 was also Back to School. You know, Rodney Dangerfield goes to college.
Yeah.
And she was the professor at the college that becomes kind of the love interest of Rodney Dangerfield in that movie.
Ah.
Same year, you know, she was in a good movie.
Yes. So I enjoyed her.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed watching her and her antics. Like, so that, of course, nobody else but Rudy can see her.
Yeah.
So she takes Rudy into town shopping for a new image. And at one point, the barber is trying to fix his hair one way and she's got a comb and she's trying to fix it the other way. But of course, the barber can't see her. It's just this dueling madness over Rudy's head. And then they get into like a sword fight with the combs.
There's a lot of wacky, goofy, super low budget visual gags with objects floating around because the invisible ghost lady is carrying things around.
But yes. Think about it. If I name that as my favorite part of the movie, that's where the bar is set.
That was your favorite thing. Sally Kellerman, I've seen most recently, just a couple of years ago, I guess, in Marin, which was Marc Maron, you know, podcaster, comedian Marc Maron, his TV show, mm-hmm. Marin, in which he kind of played a version of himself. But Sally played his mother. And so she's still out there, still keeping busy, and is very good. But yes, so strange to have an actor of her caliber in Meatballs 3.
So you've got the villain.
Yeah.
Mean Gene.
Mean Gene.
Call me Mean.
Now, the other connection to Meatballs, the only other connection to Meatballs, is there's a reference right at the beginning that Rudy knows Tripper from Camp North Star. And they mention Camp North Star. Tripper is Bill Murray in Meatballs. Rudy is headed off at the beginning thinking that he has a job for the summer working for Tripper. And then finds out that Tripper has sold his sleazy riverside boat place to this other guy, Mean Gene. And thus, Bill Murray is not in the movie. Although I guess they could have had Tripper and just put another guy in the role, because that's what they did with Rudy.
They did. This Mean Gene, who takes his place, is this brute.
So Mean Gene, just kind of a generic cartoony 80s goofy, giant, sleazy villain type who's going to terrorize Rudy through the whole movie and everyone around him, everywhere he goes. All he does is beat everybody up and throw people through windows. Mean Gene, played by George Buza, I guess you'd pronounce the name. A couple of interesting credits on this guy. I did a lot of voice work, including the 1990s X-Men cartoons. He was the Beast. You know?
I loved the Beast.
The blue dude.
That guy was the Beast?
That was Mean Gene, voice of the Beast in those 90s X-Men cartoons, yes.
Unbelievable.
He also, I believe he was Canadian, as were many of the actors in this were Canadian. This was a Canadian production, I believe. And he did a lot of the voices back in the 80s on the Ewoks cartoon and the Droids cartoon, which were both done by Nelvana, Canadian animators, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other kind of amusing credit that I saw when I looked up George Buza earlier today was in 1979, he was in a David Cronenberg movie called Fast Company, which I do not remember at all, but the character he played was named Meatball.
Oh, weird.
It's all coming together. Now, the other cartoony, goofy villain in this was the head of the River Rats.
Yeah.
Because there was sort of a biker gang, but instead of bikes, it was a boat gang.
Jet skis,
sure, and motorboats and whatnot on the river, terrorizing everybody.
The River Rats.
And the leader of the River Rats, Huey, again, just a big dopey idiot guy, played by Maury Chaykin. And again, this is a guy with a ton of credits over the years. But the one that caught my eye, the one role I definitely remember this guy from, was he was in War Games. The scene towards the beginning of the movie, Matthew Broderick has the list of games, and he goes to these two computer nerds at some computer place, these two programmers, to get help with identifying where did this list of games come from. And one of them is like super nerd Eddie Deason, and the other guy was this guy, Maury Chaykin. So I like that, because I love War Games, and I like that here's a guy that was actually in War Games. Now he's Huey the River Rat.
Yeah.
Kind of a step down, I think, from War Games.
And he is simply gross.
Yeah. Now, Mean Gene has a lady stashed upstairs at his house.
Yes.
The Love Goddess, everyone calls her. Love Goddess played by Shannon Tweed, which is a name I recognized.
Yes.
But I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything. I looked up Shannon, and she's described as starring in a lot of what they call erotic thrillers.
Oh, lovely.
And I mean a lot of them.
Oh, like, wow.
Her credits go on and on. She made a lot of kind of goofy erotic thrillers, if you will, over the years, and was in lots of other movies and TV and stuff over the years. But perhaps most interesting, she's married to Gene Simmons from Kiss.
No! Okay, that's where I know that name.
There you go.
Wow.
One of the only other interesting names in the credits, and this was an uncredited role as Beach Girl number 4. And I didn't even pick her out of the crowd. So just a girl in the background, you know, with all the kids partying on the side of the river. Caroline Ray, her very first role. And Caroline Ray, I knew her as a stand-up comedian after that. And she had her own talk shows, and she was on game shows, and she was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch as well. Aunt Hilda, the original Sabrina, not the new one. Mm-hmm. But Caroline Ray has gone on to quite a career, which started with Meatballs 3. And that about scrapes the bottom of the cast list as far as cast people of note. I guess we should say Charles Durning was the doorman at the Gates to Heaven. It was Charles Durning, who's another guy that's a name that you hear because he was in a million things over the years, including perhaps for our purposes, most interesting part would have been Doc Hopper in the Muppet movie.
Yes.
That guy. So,
wow.
A bunch of people in this movie.
Doc Hopper is running heaven.
Probably not the star power of Meatballs 2.
No.
I think Meatballs 2 still had a bigger lineup of familiar faces.
Equally disturbing, I would say, but in a different way.
Oh, I found this much more disturbing than Meatballs 2.
Mm. They're both awful. You know what? I think you're right.
They are both awful, yes. Somehow the fact that it was set on a river made it a lot creepier.
How on earth was this supposed to be entertainment?
Like, we're not on the ocean. We're not at a lake. We're on a river.
Right.
I was hoping the River Bottom Nightmare Gang would show up from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
That would have been cool.
They would have gotten along with the river rats. So, you know...
Why are we doing this again?
As far as trashy 80s movies go, I've seen a lot worse than this. Believe it or not.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I have. But that's me. You may not have. I'll bet you have not seen as many,
you know,
dreadful 80s movies as I have.
As we've embarked on this project, we've jokingly made comparisons to Combat Academy.
Right.
As somebody who loves Combat Academy, can I ask, is my favorite movie of the 80s anywhere near as bad as the meatball movies we've been watching?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
Thank you. I feel a lot better because I know Combat Academy is not a high cinematic achievement in any way, shape, or form, but I can't imagine it's nearly as god-awful as these two movies we have now watched. Why, after Meatballs 2, did they continue on to make a Meatballs 3? How did they think this was going to make things better?
Again, they were cranking out movies fast and cheap in the 80s, and especially... I mean, this is the kind of... They used to make trash movies in the 70s for the drive-in theater market. Mm-hmm. By the 80s, they were making this cheap junk for the home video market and for cable TV. These were the new markets that emerged where you could make low-budget junk and turn a profit on it. Now, if you can attach a famous name to it, make this part of the Meatballs franchise, and that'll, you know, move a few extra units because people recognize the name.
And I think with the exception of Miss Du Jour there...
We should mention, Sally Kellerman, the deceased porn star trying to win her way back into heaven. Her name was Roxy Du Jour.
Roxy Du Jour.
And we should also say, there's a scene before the untimely demise of Roxy. Rudy and that what's-her-name girl are watching an adult movie starring Roxy. And it's a science fiction-themed porn, mm-hmm. Which is called E.T. the Sextraterrestrial,
They couldn't leave the aliens out of it.
Yeah, like in Meatballs 2 had Meathead, the alien. There was a real alien in Meatballs 2.
Right.
And this, we just see a few seconds of an alien-themed porn.
You think after Meatballs 2 they'd realize that aliens were a mistake.
But the alien who is in this scene, this is a big green alien dude with Sally in the scene, and I thought right away, I think that's Robillard. Could Robillard have been in this?
I don't think he was looking for candy bars, Kevin.
Is that...
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm Robillard. I'm from Mars, and I eat all kinds of candy bars. But what is this? Some Earth fruit? Mmm, it is good. It's better than good. It's yummy and not bad. Oh, wait till I tell the other Martians about this. By only eating candy bars, we don't know what we've missed.
Robillard.
Maybe looking for mounds.
It's been a few years since his big PSA promoting Earth fruit.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, are they shooting adult videos on Mars? you kind of only see him from the back.
Right.
Right? Thankfully, I suppose.
Yes.
But man, I thought of Robillard right away watching that. I almost said I'll have to watch that again and confirm, but I don't know if I could take that. Wow.
So you know what was good?
Robillard?
The pie.
The pizza pie. We did have pie.
We had delicious pizza pie.
The mayor, at the end of the movie, the mayor did not stay in the room. Mayor Chickentown did not stay here in our screening area to watch the movie. She wisely retreated because she realized we're about to watch the worst thing in the world.
Wow.
When she came back into the room when the movie was over, we thanked her for the pizza pie. And then she apologized for turning on the movie for us. Yeah, pizza was great. The movie somewhat less so.
Maybe my favorite thing, since there wasn't much of anybody I liked in this movie, save for Roxy Dujour, was when the bull got loose and was pretty much taking everybody out.
There was a bull. There was an actual giant bull for reasons we probably won't bother getting into. But
let's not.
But there's an actual full-size, crazy, leaping around bull terrorizing the creepy resort towards the end of the movie.
And if after you spend the movie hating these people to see them chased down by a bull, there's something satisfying about that.
We really wanted to see everybody just get gored at the end. Wouldn't that have been a satisfying conclusion?
Yes! Have the bull tear down the stump.
I liked some of the music. A lot of these movies, these just stupid 80s comedies, a lot of them will have a fun soundtrack. It's just that 80s pop, 80s rock stuff where most of it you can't even tell who the bands are. It's usually bands you never even heard of. I recognized a Loverboy song, Hot Girls in Love by Loverboy.
Ah.
Not a great song, but just one of those fun, stupid 80s rock songs. Fit right in. So the soundtrack can be fun in these things. Usually the best part of this sort of movie.
Mm. I think I was too astounded by how horrible the movie was to take the music into account.
Get into the music.
This was jaw dropped to the floor bad.
Yeah. So here's a question. Do you suppose Meatballs 4 could be even worse?
I'm afraid it might be.
It might be. I don't know.
Tell me there are no more after 4.
They have not made Meatballs 5 yet.
Oh, okay. I can keep my fingers crossed that they never will.
I mean, evidently the Meatballs title is available for a song, for a Loverboy song. It's not expensive, apparently, to slap the name Meatballs on your movie. Should we make Meatballs 5, if only to prevent anybody else from making it?
Only if it can star chickens and only chickens.
We gotta get Robillard back.
Well, okay.
He's been in one of these already. Man, I mean, summer of 86.
That came out in 86?
This is 1986.
Whoa.
I mean, I was watching The Karate Kid Part 2 that year.
Which is proof that it would have been possible to make a better movie.
There were better options in that year. Oh, yes. But what we got tonight was Meatballs 3, Summer Job. All right, what do you give it? 3.5 stars? Out of a billion?
I give it a swift boot out the window and into the river.
Yes, that's what Mean Gene would want you to do.
Yes.
Well, Cornflake, you did it. You've survived the second of our 3 Meatballs sequels.
I guess you get props for getting through it, too.
We did it together. We are going to watch Meatballs 4. Probably not next week, though.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's take a little break.
Yep.
We'll take care of some more pleasant stuff next week, I assure you. Meanwhile, Cornflake, let's wrap up this very difficult show.
There are not enough refreshments in the world to make this better.
Yeah.
So at flopcast.net, you'll find notes for all of our shows. That's our website.
Maybe not this one.
Are we going to pretend this show just never happened? I worked hard for this, Kevin. This show is going to be a thing. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, @_flopcast.
Yes. Well, Cornflake, thank you for joining me for pizza pie and for a delightful night at the movies.
Thank you for making it so I did not have to go this alone.
Do you feel refreshed in time for refreshment day?
I feel...
Give your ID card to the border guard?
Like... I feel like I need another recovery period.
Let's do that. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Howdy! Dragon Con 2019 is fast approaching, so fill up your buckets of rum and keep up with the latest news, announcements, interviews, and mispronunciations of guest names as only the Con Report podcast crew can manage. Let us be your guide each month as we count down to the big event on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media player. Listen to the DragonCon Con Report.
Oh, hey, Cornflick.
Hi.
It's the secret after show. Okay, now you can admit it. You loved that movie.
I did not
That's
love that movie.
Your all-time favorite movie is Meatballs 3.
I feel sick to my stomach from watching that. I don't think my standards are all that high for a good movie, and that just, I'm stunned by how awful that movie was.
Got anything coming up? Any secret summer plans for the secret after show audience?
Yes, what's coming up? Secret summer plan.
That you only want our most devoted listeners to know about.
Yes. Well, if you're local to Massachusetts, you might be interested in what I learned about today.
Oh.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when over Labor Day weekend there was a free They Might Be Giants concert?
Yes.
It was Riverfest.
Yes.
And I went and ended up having like something of a shuttling.
You were driving people back and
craziness.
Forth to the They Might Be Giants concert.
Yes. Yes. It was a bit much.
Instead of watching the concert yourself, you put on a chauffeur's cap.
And so then last year when it came time for Riverfest again and it was the Bare Naked Ladies, one of my all-time favorite bands.
Yes.
I still was not ready.
The combination of the phrases Bare Naked Ladies and Riverfest, I'm flashing right back to Meatballs 3 now.
Yes. You're going to need to do something to get that out of here, and my goodness. So
what's happening this year?
Well, I just couldn't imagine who could possibly come to town for the free concert that happens toward the end of the summer.
Oh.
It's put on by one of our local radio stations.
Sure. Is it Leo Sayer?
No, not this year. After not...
I can dream.
After not making myself be able to go see the Bare Naked Ladies, I figured I'm probably done with Riverfest.
Yeah.
But then they announced...
Uh-oh.
The headliner is...
Yep.
Guster.
Oh, I know you love Guster.
I love Guster. Sure. So guess what? I'm going to be putting on my chauffeur's cap again because there's shuttles down to the park.
Back
and I
go.
Can't take myself away.
I got to say, are you booking the talent for this show? You sound surprised by it every year, but it's like... They're booking bands off of your personal, like, top 10 all-time favorite groups.
It's like, it's just what I always wanted. So,
wow.
So
and,
Kevin.
And last year, you didn't even go.
I know. So I guess if it's up to me, you know, Guster is already taken care of for this year. But next year, do you want it to be Loverboy?
I would love it to be Loverboy.
Just say the word, because evidently.
Can you make that happen? Just
evidently
like
in
Meatballs 3, I was delighted when they played Hot Girls in Love by Loverboy. Loverboy had so many ridiculous hits in the 80s. People remember Working for the Weekend.
Yes.
But they had a bunch more beyond that. And they're pretty ridiculous. They're like Notorious and Heaven in Your Eyes and Hot Girls in Love, which we enjoyed just moments ago in Meatballs 3. So yes, definitely book Loverboy. Does the guy still wear the headband, do you think?
We can ask.
The guy from Loverboy?
We can make that happen, I think.
His name is Mike Reno, but to me, in my heart, he's the guy from Loverboy.
That's fitting.
Because he did the duet with Ann Wilson from Heart, Almost Paradise from Footloose.
That was him.
That's Mike Reno. That's why I know his name, is because of the duet, Mike Reno and Ann Wilson, Almost Paradise.
I see.
But when I picture Loverboy, I picture him with the headband.
Yeah.
He probably only wore it in one video, but in my mind, he's the guy from Loverboy.
He probably doesn't wear it out in public, so he doesn't get
recognized.
Yeah,
he's wearing the headband, like Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. But when he takes the headband off, nobody recognizes him.
Completely. How would you possibly recognize Mike Reno without the headband?
Totally incognito.
Absolutely. So you're going to pull some strings and book Loverboy for next year.
Right. But for this year?
This year, Guster.
Guster, baby.
No headbands. Next year, Loverboy. Everybody in headbands.
That's
everybody
right.
who goes, headbands are mandatory. We're all going to look like Jor-El.
Don't you think that's generous? I don't think I'm going to look anything like Jor-El with a headband on.
Planet Krypton. All right, see you there.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.